The Lord be with you. It's about dying, our gospel lesson today, the story of the Transfiguration. It doesn't say so much about that explicitly in the passage that we read, but the way the passage starts off points us to it. Because our gospel lesson today starts with the words, 6 days later. And so we look to see what happened 6 days earlier in the previous chapter. And what happens 6 days earlier is that Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are right." But those 6 days earlier, Jesus also says, "And I, as the Messiah, must be rejected, suffer, and die." And Peter says, "No, by all means, you've got it wrong, Jesus." And so Jesus has to rebuke Peter and tells him, "You are of a stumbling block." And Jesus says to Peter, "Take up your cross and follow me. You got to lose your life to save it." And it's 6 days after that that Jesus takes Peter and two of his friends up a mountaintop. And there on the mountaintop, God confirms what Peter has known to be true, that truly Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus shines with the presence of God's glory. And on the mountaintop, two other people appear, Moses and Elijah, two heroes of the Jewish tradition, the greatest prophets of Israel, pillars of faith. Moses, the man who went up the mountain to receive God's law and brought it down for the people. Elijah, the prophet who calls down the Holy Spirit like fire to set the people of Israel ablaze for God. These two people of faith are there with Jesus, but they have two other things in common, Moses and Elijah. They've both died. And this past month, two pillars of our faith community also died. Marnie Jolliffe and Jackie Rosell, and I've got pictures of them there. And to say, if I were to go up a mountain and see Jesus, the two people I would expect to see beside him chatting are Marnie and Jackie. They are truly our Moses and Elijah. And to say, if they're Moses and Elijah, Marnie is for me clearly the Moses of the two. Because Moses is the one, as I said, who goes up the mountain and gets the word of God written on tablets of stone and brings it back and reads it to the people. And Marnie read the word of God for us here. Each month she would totter to the lectern here, and every month I would be afraid her legs would not have the strength to carry her. But even though she was 96 years old, she would get to this lectern, and as soon as she opened her mouth, her voice was filled with strength and certainty. And she read the word of God with power in every sentence. And to say she is like Moses, because Moses not only reads the word of God to the people, but Moses makes sure the people hear God's word, and Marnie made sure she could hear. In fact, if she couldn't hear, she'd let you know. It didn't matter if we were singing or praying and I was preaching. If Marnie couldn't hear, she would make sure that you heard about it. And rightly so, because she knew that the word of God was worth hearing. If Marnie is our Moses, Jackie is our Elijah. Elijah was a prophet in a time when the people of Israel had turned away from God, and Elijah called down the Holy Spirit like fire. He multiplied food for the hungry. He raised the dead to new life, and through these miracles, the people's hearts were returned to God once more, and so too, Jackie, though raised a Lutheran, took a detour through Pentecostalism before coming back. And she believed that the Holy Spirit would pour out like fire on this congregation. She prayed for a revival at Faith Lutheran. She prayed, trusting that the same God of Elijah would work miracles here in this place, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, transforming transforming lives. And from the strength of her faith, everyone who spoke with her had their faith strengthened. And so I want to have you imagine walking up a mountaintop. And there you see Jesus. And on his sides are Marnie and Jackie. Imagine the joy you would feel in that moment. So perhaps you can imagine the joy that Peter felt upon going up the mountain and seeing Jesus shining with God's glory. He saw beside Jesus Moses and Elijah. And perhaps you can understand why Peter would say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah." Because you see, for the past week, Jesus had just been talking about suffering and dying, such dark, ugly things. But here at last, all that was forgotten. Here at last, they were in a place of beauty and light with people that they loved, where death was forgotten. And Peter says, "Let's just stay here." But God has other plans. And so God cuts off Peter. Literally, it's what the gospel says. It says, while Peter is still talking, a bright cloud overshadows him, and the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And at those words, "Listen to him," it says the disciples fall down in fear. Now, Peter knew that Jesus was God's beloved son. He had said so in the earlier chapter. But just because Peter knew that Jesus was God's son, the Messiah, didn't mean Peter wanted to listen to him. When Jesus said that he himself would have to die, Peter didn't want to listen to him. He said, "No, by no means, it must never be so." When Jesus said to Peter, "Take up your cross and follow me," Peter didn't want to listen. He ignored. When Jesus took up the mountain to show him the men who had died, who Jesus would be joining, Peter said, "Why do you have to go join them? Why not let's just stay here where everything's good?" Yeah, Peter knew Jesus, but he didn't want to listen to him. And perhaps you can relate, because I know that I sure can. I know Jesus, but I don't always want to listen. Because Jesus keeps calling me to die. And I don't want to die. Jesus calls me to die not just once, but every single day. Jesus calls me to die to my pride and to my plans. Jesus calls me to die to the picture I have for how my life is going to be. Jesus calls me to die to the very idea that my life is mine alone to do with what I will. And when Peter struggles to listen to Jesus, it is this part of the dying that he struggles with. See, Peter is not so much afraid of laying down his life, he's afraid of laying down his idea about the Messiah, of laying down his idea of Christ as a conquering hero who's going to drive out the Romans and establish a new kingdom here on earth. He's afraid of laying down his idea of where he'd get to be in that new kingdom that Jesus is setting forth. That's what he's afraid of. That's the death he doesn't want to die. And there's a word for dying that kind of death. The word is repentance. Now, Moses and Elijah, throughout their whole lives, they called the people of God to repent, to die to the ways they thought they were doing things that weren't in accordance with God's ways. And if I'm honest, as I stand up here and say nice things about Marnie and Jackie, they too called me to repent, each in different ways. Anytime I would feel like, hey, Sunday's going really well, I preached a solid sermon and the music is particularly beautiful, we finally got this worship dialed in, Marnie would call out, "Why can't I hear anything?" And she'd keep calling it out until she could hear something. And I will tell you, every time she did that, my pride would die. And rightly so. What good is having good news if the people who need to hear it can't? Now, Jackie would call me to repent in a much quieter way. But a way that cut much deeper. See, Jackie would come to me after I'd do a remembrance of baptism or some such thing, and she'd say, "Pastor, you keep encouraging us to look back to our water baptism. But you need to call us forward to look to the baptism of the Holy Spirit." By which she would mean that moment in which God changes people's hearts. When God sets their hearts on fire with the Holy Spirit and Jesus works through them to change lives. And I would say to her, "You know, Jackie, I long for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for everyone." But I would say to her, "You know, I'm afraid that if I tell people to expect that, and it doesn't happen, they'll lose faith." And when I'd say this, Jackie would look at me with an expression that would say, "Lose faith? Where's your faith?" But what she'd actually say is, "If we pray, the Holy Spirit will come." And I will say, in that moment, she would call me to die. Because the truth of the matter is, I have known and experienced God's unconditional love in my life powerfully, and I joyously imagine myself spending the rest of my days proclaiming that love for other people, comfortably doing nothing more. But Jackie knew that God has more in store for the people of Faith Lutheran. And that I needed to die to the comfortable life I imagined for myself so that I could call the rest of us to receive that power of the Holy Spirit, that I would not just tell people about God's love, but I would empower people with God's love to change hearts and to change the city in which we live. Yes, the gospel lesson today is about dying. And Marnie and Jackie called me to die to the ideas I had about myself. They called me to repent, just as Moses and Elijah called their people to repent. But more than that, like Moses and Elijah, Jackie and Marnie modeled for us what it means to die in faith. Elijah, despite the fact that he had raised the dead to new life, when he knew his time on this earth was coming to an end, he didn't pray for healing. He didn't pray that God let him live longer. Instead, Elijah spent his final days comforting his disciples who were freaking out because their teacher was going to leave them. And so too, Jackie had no fear of death. You see, Elijah, when he dies, he knows he has nothing to be afraid of because God's just sending a chariot to swing low and carry him home. And so too, when Jackie died, I didn't even know about it for a couple of days because she was so unworried that when she went into the hospital with a major health concern, she didn't need to tell me. She didn't tell most people, in fact. She just went home to bed, and in the morning, her body was found at peace, with her hands folded as if she had laid down and just waited for God to send that chariot to come and carry her home. Now Moses' death is a little more poignant. And so was Marnie's. To say when Moses died, he had first already led his people out of slavery in Egypt. He had led them 40 years through the wilderness, and he had made it to the banks of the River Jordan, but instead of crossing over to the promised land on the other side, Moses went up a mountain, and he looked out. And there, from the mountaintop, he saw the promised land where his people were headed, even though he knew he wouldn't make it there with them. And so Moses had to die, knowing that his mission in life would be unfilled by him, but that he would leave it in the hands of God to see his people home. And so too, I had the honor of being with Marnie throughout her final days of life. And as I would sit with her and talk to her about her own preparation for death, the thing that she was worried about most was not herself, but her two boys, who were there by her side holding her hand. And when I say her two boys, you have to understand, they're both around 60 now. But to say she had spent 60 years of her life caring for them, watching out for them, raising them, that was clearly her greatest mission in life, and in her final days, she had to come to terms with the fact that she wasn't going to live to see that mission through. And so the final act that Marnie had to do on this earth was not just to die, but to die to her role as the guardian of the people that she loved most, and to place them in the hands of God, trusting that God would see them home. You see, the gospel is about dying. And Peter knows Jesus. Peter loves Jesus. But Peter doesn't want to listen to Jesus, because Jesus is inviting Peter to die with Christ. Jesus does this because Jesus knows that so long as we are afraid of dying, we can never truly be alive. Because so long as we are afraid of dying, there's always going to be a part of us that says, where Jesus is headed is kind of scary and dangerous. Maybe it's safer if I just stay put. But Jesus has come to lead us to life. And so after 6 days of trying to get this idea of dying through Peter's head, there comes a seventh day, a day of rest. And on this seventh day, instead of telling Peter that he must die, Jesus leads Peter up a mountaintop with two of his friends, and there Jesus shows him a beautiful vision. A beautiful vision of what life looks like on the other side of death with Moses and Elijah, who've already made it there. They get this beautiful vision so that they can trust God. Just like one day in seven, we are called to have a day of rest. When we stop trying to make life look like the way we want it to, and we put it in God's hands for a day. And what we see what it looks like when God's in charge. We do this so that when we see the beauty of what it means to rest in God, we have the strength to return to our week and follow wherever God leads us, even if it's on the mountaintop, or even if it's back down into the valley. And Jackie had a habit of quoting a woman she knew from her days as a Pentecostalist, a woman who would stand up in that Pentecostal church and start praising God for everything in her life, not just the good things, but the bad things too. She'd praise God for her husband being sick, for her car breaking down. She'd praise God for her bank account running out. And then she'd sum it all up by saying, praise God on the mountaintops and praise God in the valley bottoms. And Jackie would tell this story with awe and amazement. She'd say, what faith to praise God in everything, not just the good, but the bad also, to praise God not just in those mountaintop experiences, but in the valleys. And so too, Jesus, he shows Peter, Moses, and Elijah shining on this mountaintop with Jesus, but he shows him these two men, not just so that Peter sees what's on the other side of death, but he shows them these two men, because they are men who have known what it means to walk with God through the valley of the shadow of death and to fear no evil, for they know that God is with them. And when Peter finally realizes that Jesus has brought him to the mountaintop just to call him back down to that valley of death, the disciples are afraid. But the gospel says that Jesus comes and touches them and says to them, get up and do not be afraid, for Jesus will be with them every step of the way, just like Jesus was with Moses and Elijah, with Marnie and Jackie. Next week, we begin the season of Lent, 40 days of preparing ourselves to enter into the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, 40 days of asking ourselves what needs to die in us so that we can live in Christ. On this day, may we look upon Marnie and Jackie, shining with the light of Christ, and from them find the example and the hope to have such faith that we gladly walk with Jesus through that valley of death to the life that is on the other side. Amen.